Page 36, Chapter 2, An Introduction to Geography. Geography is one of the oldest sciences, beginning when our earliest ancestors first asked, "What is on the other side of that hill?" Geography is sometimes called the mother of all sciences, because when our early ancestors crossed over that hill, they found different animals, different weather, different land features, different rocks, and even different people. When they started comparing them to what they had back home, they were using such sciences as biology, meteorology, geology, and sociology. Geography is the exploration and discovery of new places, new cultures, and new ideas. There are two types of basic geography. Cultural geography studies human beings and their impact on Earth. It looks at languages, religions, foods, architecture, agriculture, transportation, cities and small towns, politics, and economics. Physical geography is the study of Earth's natural features, its water, air, animals, mountains, rivers and lakes, and atmosphere. When we combine cultural geography with physical geography to study one particular place, like the state of Missouri, it is called regional geography. Page 38, Missouri Close-Up. Missouri numbers. Number of bordering states, 8. Number of counties, 114. Number of state parks, 49. Number of state historic sites, 34. Number of natural areas, 168. Percentage of land in state conservation areas, 2. Missouri geography. Length of borders in miles. West, 318. South, 322. East, 439. North, 233. Land area in square miles, 68,898. Water area in square miles, 811. Highest elevation, 1,772 feet above sea level, Tom Salk Mountain in Iron County. Lowest elevation, 230 feet above sea level, St. Francis River in southwest Dunklin County. Page 39, Section 1, Maps. As you read, look for the following: how the globe is divided into sections, the names of these sections, the names of the lines on a map, vocabulary terms, prime meridian, hemisphere, equator, continent, latitude, longitude, navigation, elevation, atlas. When our earliest ancestors became curious enough to cross over the hill and met different people, those people probably asked, "Where are you from?" What if someone asked you that question? Could you tell them where Missouri is? Geography uses various tools to help us tell people where a place is and what it is like. When our earliest ancestors were trying to tell people where they came from, one of them might have taken a stick and drawn pictures in the sand showing the hill. On one side of the hill, he or she might have made a circle, representing the village where our ancestors lived. On the other side of the hill, he or she might have drawn another circle showing where the people they had just met lived. If they had crossed any streams or rivers, our ancestor might have also drawn those in the sand. What our ancestor had created was a map. Page 40. Finding Our Place. If we were to travel into space and look back at Earth, we would see that it is shaped like a ball. This ball is spinning on an axis, an imaginary line that runs from top to bottom through the middle. At the top end of the axis is the North Pole. The South Pole is at the south end of the axis. There are also two imaginary lines on opposite sides of the ball that run from pole to pole. On a map, one of these lines is called the prime meridian. The English were the first to draw the prime meridian on maps, so the line runs through the city of Greenwich, pronounced Greenwich, in England, and through Western Africa and Antarctica. On the other side of the ball, the line is called the 180th meridian. It runs through the Aleutian Islands of Alaska, Eastern Russia, the islands of Micronesia, New Guinea, Eastern Australia, New Zealand, and Antarctica. The prime meridian and the 180th meridian divide Earth into two halves or hemispheres. One half is the Western Hemisphere, and the other half is the Eastern Hemisphere. Another line can be drawn around the middle of Earth, halfway between the North and South Poles. This line is called the Equator, and it divides Earth into the Northern Hemisphere and the Southern Hemisphere. Missouri is north of the Equator, so it is in the Northern Hemisphere. It is also west of the prime meridian, so it is in the western hemisphere. From outer space, you can see that Earth's surface is mostly water. You can also see land masses. Geography is mostly interested in the land masses. The land masses are divided into continents. There are 7 continents: Africa, Antarctica, Asia, Australia, Europe, North America, and South America. North America is made up of several countries, including the United States. The United States is made up of 50 states, and Missouri is one of those 50 states. Did you know? Sphere is another name for ball, and hemisphere means half a sphere. Page 41, Latitude and Longitude. Look at Map 2, which shows Earth as 3 balls. The map at the left has one set of parallel lines running from side to side. The lines that run from side to side, east to west, are called lines of latitude, or parallels. The map in the middle has another set of lines running from top to bottom. The lines that run from top to bottom, north to south, are called lines of longitude, or meridians. The map at the right puts the first 2 maps together into what is called the global grid. We measure the outside of circles or globes like Earth in degrees. A full circle has 360 degrees, and a half circle has 180 degrees. Each degree is divided into 60 minutes, and each minute is divided into 60 seconds. Remember that Earth is divided into hemispheres, or half circles. On a map, the prime meridian, the line that runs through Greenwich, England, is called 0 degrees of longitude. As you go west from Greenwich, the meridian numbers grow larger until you reach 180 degrees on the opposite side of the world. Then they grow smaller until they again reach 0 degrees at the prime meridian. The lines of latitude are numbered in a slightly different way. The equator is at 0 degrees of latitude. As you go north toward the pole, the numbers grow larger until you reach 90 degrees. The North Pole, then, is at 90 degrees north, or in, latitude. If you go south from the equator, the numbers again grow larger until you reach the pole. The South Pole is at 90 degrees south, or S, latitude. Did you know? Every degree of latitude is about 69 miles apart. Page 42. This global grid of latitudes and longitudes is how pilots in airplanes, ship captains, and other travelers find their way on a map. It is also how a global positioning system, or GPS, tells you where you are. The GPS tells you your latitude and longitude. Your family car might have one. Your home computer probably has one. Hikers and campers used handheld GPS devices so they won't get lost. Using the GPS or another source for latitude and longitude, you can look on a map and find where these coordinates meet and see where you are. For example, Jefferson City, the state capital, is at about longitude 92 degrees and 11 minutes. Another way to write this is 92 with the degree sign, 11 with the minute sign. West, and latitude 38 degrees and 34 minutes, 38 with the degree sign, 34 with the minute sign, north. Using a map to find your way or to find out where you are is called navigation. People who do this on airplanes or ships are called navigators. Another important tool used by navigators is a compass. A compass has a dial in the shape of a circle with the four directions, east, west, south, and north, marked on that dial. At the center of the dial is a needle that can spin in a circle. One end of the circle is marked with color or an arrow. That end of the needle always points toward the magnetic North Pole. Using the compass, a navigator or hiker can always know which way is north. More maps and map reading tools. Take some time and look through this book. You will find many kinds of maps. One shows the geographical regions and features of Missouri. Another shows counties and cities and towns. Still another shows the location of important Civil War battles in Missouri. What do you notice about these maps? They all use colors, symbols, and lines. Remember, we said the rivers, mountains, lakes, and coasts were physical features? On a map, these are usually shown using lines, shapes, and colors. What color is often used to show water? Dots, circles, and stars are used to show cities and towns. Lines show the borders of countries or states. We call these political features. A map may be a physical map, or a political map, or a combination of both. Map 4 is a combination since it shows state outlines. Map 4, physical map. Map skill. What physical features appear on this map? Page 44. Two other features found on most maps are a scale and the compass rose. Scale shows the measure of distance used on the map. Knowing the scale will help you measure the distance between two places on a map. The compass rose is a simple arrow or more fancy artwork showing the four points of the compass. On most maps, the arrow points toward the north on the map. Locate the scale and the compass rose on maps 4 and 5. Some maps also contain a legend. The legend is a list of the symbols used on the map that tells you what each represents. Hikers and campers often use topographic maps. Look at the topographic map in Map 6. Notice the wavy lines that sometimes form circles. The lines may be close to each other or far apart. Some of the lines are labeled with numbers. These lines show the elevation of the land. Elevation is the height of the land. On a topographical map, the elevation is measured in feet or meters above sea level, with sea level being zero. The lines also tell the map reader how steep a hill or cliff or mountain slope is. The closer the lines are on the map, the steeper the hill. Topographical maps also have symbols for physical features such as springs, caves, and hiking trails that are not usually found on other maps. Man-made features that would help the user figure out where he or she is may also be shown. For example, a tall radio tower might be marked on the map because it can be seen from long distances by hikers. There are other types of maps that serve special purposes. City planners might use a zoning map. This map shows the different pieces of property and whether they can be used for houses, businesses, factories, or parks. There are also maps that show where natural resources like coal, gas, and water might be found. Not all maps cover land masses. Maps used to navigate oceans, lakes, or rivers are called nautical maps or charts. These might show the depth of the water or where underwater hazards might be found. Map 6, Topographical Map. Map Skill. What human-made features appear on the map? Page 46. Anyone can draw a simple map, even you. Good maps, such as highway maps, topographical maps, and nautical charts, are made by professionals called cartographers. The art or science of map making is called cartography. You can buy maps of almost any place on Earth showing the whole world or just one tiny place. Sometimes it is necessary to have maps of more than one place or different types of maps of one place. These maps are sometimes gathered into one book called an atlas. An atlas of Missouri maps appears in the back of this book. Do you remember? Number 1. Look at a map of the world and select a hemisphere. Is most of the hemisphere you selected covered by water or by land? Number 2. What is the 0 degree of latitude called? Page 47, Spotlight, National Geospatial Intelligence Agency. We can buy maps at almost any store, at service stations, travel agencies, bookstores, or on the internet. Many companies make maps, but the largest map maker or cartographer in the world is the United States government. Some of the first maps made for the government were those drawn by Lewis and Clark on their voyage of discovery in 1804 to 1806. As the United States became more involved in world events, including two world wars, the need for accurate maps for the military became more important. In 1943, the Army Air Corps, now the Air Force, created its aeronautical chart plant in St. Louis. The plant became the largest and most important government map maker. It gathered information and created maps for all types of government use, from planning national forest to finding the best location to launch rockets for the space program. Most of the maps were used by the military. As a result, the plant's name was changed to the Defense Mapping Agency in 1972. There were other name changes. In 2004, it was renamed the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, NGIA. The NGIA uses historic maps, information gathered on the ground, photos taken from aircraft, photos taken from satellites far above Earth, and even radar pictures taken by the space shuttles to create the most accurate maps possible. It makes maps of nearly every spot on Earth, and especially where American soldiers and sailors are fighting. For Operation Desert Storm in 1991, the agency created 66 million individual maps. It has created even more maps for troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. The military isn't the only user of the NGIA maps and geographical information. In 2002, the agency helped planners for the Winter Olympics in Salt Lake City, Utah. In fact, many of the maps you buy in stores or download from the web are made using information gathered by the NGIA in St. Louis.